Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you.
Would you join us as we go to the Lord in a word of prayer today?
Father, we come before you. We do thank you so much for everything that you have done for us, Father. There are so many things that you have done that we have not even seen. We have not recognized. We don't even know, Father, the things that you are doing for us. And Father, it is better to have Jesus than anything in this world, because this world does not afford anything that has any eternal value. So Father, today as we come before you to worship and to praise you, Father, we pray for you just to continue pouring your spirit out, Father. Dear Lord Jesus, we pray for each and every person that's here. I lift my brothers and sisters up in Christ to you. I pray, Father, for a touch that can only come from you. I pray for a healing touch, Father, for those that are sick. I pray for a spiritual healing touch, Father, for all those that do not know you as Lord and Savior. And Father, I just pray that today you will reach down from heaven, Father. You will touch someone, Father, that does not know you. And Father, they will, just fall under total conviction and give their life to you. Father, today I pray for my pastor, Lord, our pastor, Brother Cal. I pray, Father, that you will just turn him loose, Father. And I pray that he will speak in a way that he has never spoke before, Father. Just empowered by you. Feel him, Father, that he runs over on every one of us. And if we are not the same when we leave than we are when we come in his house today, Father. This house is your house. Thank you for allowing us to come in. We pray that it will continue to be a house of prayer. Father, we love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you for your presence here today. Thank you for, there's the Rainies in the back. They've been suffering for Jesus. Glad y'all are back. Amen. We've got this sweet couple, Michael and Julia, right? They live in Cookeville. They do, but they're here all the time. Isn't that amazing? And yet, you know, we've got folks that can't get here because of whatever. Hallelujah. I've got so much to say today and so little time to say it in, but I just want y'all to know this is going to be a great day. It already is a great day in the Lord, and we're going to have a fabulous time tonight out at Spring Creek Campground. You'll be hearing more about that in our announcement time, but I'm looking forward to this evening. And is Michael Barnett here? Is he not here? Well, Billy, who are you? I found our auctioneer for the Sunday school auction. Anyways, if you ever get on social media, we added our Kenwood campus last week. They had a cake auction after supper to help pay for the kids, the youth, to be able to go to Hearts on Fire. And Michael was the auctioneer. He was fantastic. So anyways, God just gives us all kinds of surprises during the week. Amen. And I believe you're going to be blessed this afternoon if you come on out to Spring Creek Campground at 3 o'clock. Anyways, we're going to continue our messages. God's perfect 10, been moving through the 10 commandments. But how many of you know Jesus is God's perfect 10? Amen. Amen. He is. And so as we move through these commandments, just remember that Jesus shrunk the 10 down into 2. And basically told us that the first 4 commandments have to do with our relationship with God, our worship. And then the last 6 have to do with our relationship with one another. And so We started in on that last week, and this morning we find ourselves in the sixth commandment. And the sixth commandment basically says from Exodus 20 and verse 13, thou shall not kill. And if you're translating that word kill in our language today, we're talking about murder. Okay? Now, before I get going good today, somebody asked me, are you going to talk about killing deer this morning, Brother Cal? I said, I'll probably stay off of that. So, anyways, thou shalt not kill. The sixth commandment is huge. And there's so much killing going on in our country right now. I mean, every time you turn on the news, whether it's, you know, in the car or at the house or social media, there's been a killing. I mean, these school shootings, I mean, they tear my heart out. And these gunmen that come into the department stores and the grocery stores and just start mowing people down and people strapping bombs to them. So you remember just 2 years ago, there was a bomb went off in downtown Nashville. And so all of this killing has got to stop. I said all of this killing has got to stop. And I believe the reason the sixth commandment is so special to our Lord, how many of you know God is a God of life? Right? And He's the one who creates life, and therefore He's the one who has the right to end life. But having said that, let me say this. I think probably most of you in here are pro-life, but pro-life is so much more than just being anti-abortion. Huge, huge subject. So that's what we're talking about this morning. And I do believe that, you know, one of the reasons that God has this commandment here is that for all the other commandments, when we break all these other commandments, there's restitution and restoration can be made. But when a human being takes the life of another human being, that life is over. There is no more restitution and restoration. Unless, of course, Jesus were to raise somebody from the dead, that could happen. But that's why I think this commandment is so special to the Lord's heart, because He's a God of life. And He says, thou shalt not kill. Now, first off this morning, I want us to dive in to the Word, and I want us really to cover some things, what this commandment does not mean. Things that this commandment, the sixth commandment, does not forbid. All you deer hunters are safe, all right? Exodus 20 and verse 24 says this, an altar of earth you shall make for me, and you shall sacrifice on it your burnt offerings and your peace offerings, your sheep and your oxen. In every place where I record my name, I will come to you and I will bless you. Ooh, what a promise that is. And so the sixth commandment does not forbid the taking of an animal life. Y'all with me so far? I mean, early on, in order for your sins to have been forgiven, a sacrifice, an animal sacrifice, had to be made. That was God's plan. It was pointing all the way, of course, to the Lord Jesus Christ. Those animal sacrifices, those blood sacrifices were pointing to Jesus. And so we're not talking here about animal life. Now, I like what Genesis 9 and verse 3 also says. Let me read that one for you. Genesis 9 and verse 3. Every moving thing that lives shall be food for you. I have given you all things, even as the green herbs. Now, in that passage of Scripture, God made it all right for us to have food to eat, either plant life or animal life. And so we're not talking here in this sixth commandment about taking the life of an animal. Now, Proverbs 12 and verse 10 says that we're to respect animal life. We're to respect animal life. Okay? We're not just supposed to go out here and just start killing anything and everything. But we have a respect for animal life. Having said that, let me say this. There's a difference between animal life and human life. Some of the ads on TV make me wonder. what people are thinking today, but there's a difference between animal life and human life. Now, I know how special Spot is in your life, okay? I get that. I know y'all are all have animals that you're really precious to. Well, Proverbs 12 and verse 10 says we're to respect animal life. But brothers and sisters, Genesis 2:7 says that God breathed life into Adam. And when he did that, Adam became a living soul. A living soul. There's a difference between animal life and human life. They're just, we're made in the image of God. I'm not here to put down animals, but animals are not made in the image of God. Now, I do believe there's going to be animals in heaven. Somebody say amen. Amen. I know how many dog lovers we got up in here today, and y'all going to start throwing tomatoes at me, but listen, there's a difference between animal life and human life. Some of the commercials, I just want to start shooting the television, you know. I mean, it's like, anyways, I don't need to get off on that. And so we're not talking about the killing of animal life, and we're not talking about the declaration of war either. Look at, turn with me in your Bibles, if you've got them, to Romans 13. Romans 13. Now, war, when a country declares war on another country, there has to be a just cause with just intent, and only as a last resort. Y'all with me so far? I mean, war is not good. But a just cause would be any nation that comes against another nation trying to aggressively take over them because that other nation can't stand up to what that nation wants to do. Prime example, Russia and Ukraine. That's a just cause right there. And just intent has to do with, securing justice for a group of folks. Just intent. Do you remember when President George W. Bush declared war on terrorism? That's just intent. To secure, and it took us a long time to bring some of those terrorists to justice, but bless God, we finally did. All right? And then the only authority, legitimate authority under God that can declare war is the government. Now, listen to Romans 13, 1 through 5. Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities. For there's no authority except from God. How many? Come on now. Amen. And the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God. And those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Do what is good, and you'll have praise from the same. Now listen to verse 4. For he is God's minister to you for good. But if you do evil, yeah. But if you do evil, be afraid. For he does not bear the sword in vain. For he, the government, is God's minister, an avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. And so whenever you've got a just cause, or along with just intent, after every conceivable effort has been done and made to have peace between two people, two families, two countries. The government under God can declare war. Now, I don't think the United States is gonna, it has to be the sin police for the whole world. But I want to tell you, there's got to be a country somewhere that'll stand for righteousness. And so that's us. Hallelujah. So it doesn't forbid the declaration of war, the taking of an animal life. And the Sixth Commandment doesn't, I'm really going to get in tough water now, the death penalty. Doesn't forbid the death penalty. Now, if you've got your Bible, I can't find anywhere else in the Scriptures that Genesis 9:6 has been revoked. Okay? Genesis 9:6. Whoever sheds man's blood, by man his blood shall be shed. For in the image of God, he made man. Now, having said that, Let me say this. By the way, we're going to have some interesting conversations in our home group meetings this week. This is one of the points, the questions that they're going to be discussing. And this is something that I think all of us wrestle with from time to time. But I think the death penalty is still in place in our court system because partially of Genesis 9:6. And I want to tell you, when you start talking about serial killers and you start talking about people who have no value for life and start just killing anybody and everybody, when you've got folks who don't care about the sacredness of humanity and life, and they're going to do damage to our families and our friends, then I think the death penalty is in place. But the government is the only legitimate authority for declaring the death penalty. Now, you can kind of tell where I stand on this. I believe in capital punishment. Now, I don't think we ought to have hanging people on the square anymore. But I think it ought to be rare, but it is a deterrent to crime. Okay, so I don't think we're talking here. The Sixth Commandment has anything to do with the death penalty. Are y'all with me so far? And so I know there's a lot of opinions in here, and we're, you know, Baptists have a lot of opinions. They're like noses. Everybody's got one. So anyways, but scripturally, you have to land on something. And so that's where we're at. And then secondly, just exactly what does the Sixth Commandment forbid? I'm glad you asked. Two things: the outward act of killing and the inward act of killing. So that's what we're going to look at right now. Now, if I tell you what, let's just begin with this. Psalm 139. I tell you, our God is a God of life. And He creates life. And by the way, if you're pro-life, you're pro-life from the womb to the tomb. Okay, it's not just anti-abortion. Sometimes we get all bent out of shape about that, but that's the truth. Now, look at Psalm 139, verse 13. For you, our Heavenly Father, formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Look at your neighbor and say, you're fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed. And in your book they were all written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them. And then Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 5 is crystal clear about this issue. Jeremiah chapter 1, throw that one up there, Ellen, please. Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 5. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Hello? Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations. Folks, God knew you before He even knit you together in your mama's womb. He had a plan and a purpose for your life. Are you accomplishing that? That's another sermon for another time. But are you accomplishing your God's plan and God's purpose for your life? There's a reason you're here. Now, what does this sixth commandment, knowing who God is, He's a God of life, what does the sixth commandment teach us? What does it forbid? Well, homicide. Now, homicide is when one human being takes the life of another human being. We call that murder. Now, obviously, we would know that's wrong, right? We break the sixth commandment when we murder someone. And I've done a lot of digging and for statistics and everything this week. And y'all, last year, 2021, there were almost 23,000 murders in this country. 23,000. I want to tell you, the killing's got to stop somewhere. And so homicide is huge. And I got to looking at some stats from Montgomery County, and I just couldn't really put anything that I felt really accurate about together. But I want to tell you what, almost weekly, someone is murdered, even right here in River City, in Clarksville. That breaks the sixth commandment. And then there's suicide. 47,646 people committed suicide, the taking of their own life. And they don't have statistics. Those were the last statistics we had in 2019. And they're on the rise. Our mayor, by the way, that's the 12th largest death that takes place in America today. Suicide. It's the taking of one's life. Homicide's big, but man, suicide's even worse. I mean, while we're here this morning, in 1 hour, three people will be killed. Just while we're sitting here. Three people in our nation. And suicide, that number's about twice that. And did y'all know 1.2 million people tried to take their life in this country last year? Weren't successful, but tried to do that. And our mayor met with the pastors last year, and he gave us five things that we met right here. We had a nice luncheon. And our city mayor, Joe Pitts, asked us to pray. He told us how the church could partner with the city. And the number one prayer partnership that needs to take place is we need to pray about the suicide epidemic in Montgomery County. Amen. And it happens a lot during the spring and early summer, even more so than around the holidays, surprisingly enough. And so we need to pray about that. And you know, suicide, let me say this. It's not the unpardonable sin. I don't know where people get that from the Bible. But I've heard a lot of people say, oh, that's the unpardonable sin. You can't ever be forgiven of taking your life. Well, my Bible tells me that nothing can separate us from the love of God, neither death nor life. The key deal is, are you one of His children? And you know, people that are thinking about ending their life think it's going to be an end-it-all situation, but it never ends for the family. They're heartbroken, guilt-ridden. Oh, I wished I'd have done this, or I wished I'd have done that. And can you imagine having just taken your life, stepped out into eternity, and then boom, you've got to explain to Creator God how He made a mistake in making you. Whew, that breaks the sixth commandment. Here's another one. Drunk driving. 10,142 fatal accidents that were related to alcohol and drugs. A third of every fatal traffic accident has to do with someone under drugs and alcohol. Y'all with me so far? I know this is a tough subject, but the killing's got to stop. We call that vehicular homicide. And then probably our national nightmare. Since 1973, we have allowed over 60 million children, unborn children, to be killed. That's a whole nation of people. Thank God our Supreme Court justices finally got that right and overturned that situation. But now it's not over. The power's come back to the states. Now, bless God, Tennessee, it's illegal for to have an here in our state. But let me tell you, the city councils, they're working feverishly to get that overturned. Am I right, Glenn? We were at a meeting and found out that our city council sent an amendment up to the state capitol 2 weeks ago to rescind so that abortion could be made legal. They didn't advertise it. They didn't tell anybody. Well, I'll tell you what, God speaks against it. Somebody's got to stand up for these children who are unborn. And by the way, that ought to be us. That ought to be us. Ought to be us. So, abortion, is another one. And then here's one that you don't stop and think about. But you know what Jesus said about unkind, unjust words? When you slander someone and ruin their reputation, when you speak harshly, unjustly, and unkindly about someone, it kills their spirit, you're breaking the sixth commandment. Oh, Brother Cal, that's not like killing somebody. Oh, really? Look what Matthew 12 says. Matthew 12. Y'all upset with me yet? I didn't write the book. Matthew 12, verse 36. But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. And so our speech is either acting like a construction crew or a demolition crew. So are you building folks up or tearing folks down? And so all of these things that we talked about, and there's some more, but those are the main ones that kind of God laid on my heart. He's a God of life, and this is how we break. But what about the inward act of killing? I'm glad you asked. Turn to Mark chapter 7, quickly to Mark chapter 7. The inward act of killing. Mark chapter 7, verse 20. And he said, this is the Lord Jesus, what comes out of a man that defiles a man? For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, and the evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. Now watch this, listen to this. All these things come from within and defile a man. Brothers and sisters, the heart of a person is what leads to murder. And I will tell you, this is why unforgiveness, this is why anger has to be dealt with. You'd be amazed at what happens in the heart of a human being who is very angry. That's the reason a lot of folks are on death row this morning. You give somebody that's angry and bitter in their spirits in a bad place and you get them under the influence of alcohol and drugs and they'll go kill somebody. Man, I had a great Bible study down at CCA prison when we were in Waynesboro over in Clifton, Tennessee, and I loved those brothers. We would sit down and we'd have Bible study together, and all I had to do was just open the Bible anywhere and read a passage of Scripture, and boom, we're off for the next hour and a half. Those guys reading their Bible. And they knew their Bible. Now, there's a difference between knowing it and doing what it says. Amen? But I had an inmate tell me one afternoon, said, Brother Cal, it's a wonder all of us aren't in here, isn't it? And I was good until he said, isn't it? Because he's right. If it wasn't for the grace of God, I'd be down in the bottom of a jail somewhere this morning. And you would too. And so, all of that stuff begins in the heart. It's the inward act of killing. Jesus talked about it again and again. If you even look, I'll talk more about this next week, but if you look at a person lustfully and want to have sex with them, you've already committed adultery in your heart. It's the same way with murder. And so deal with the anger in your heart. Deal with the unforgiveness in your heart. Don't let that bitterness spring up and destroy you. Y'all have heard me say, whatever comes up in the bucket is what's down in the well. It's the heart, the problem. The heart of the problem is the problem of the heart. Write that down. That's a good one. You can use it. So, those are the things that the sixth commandment forbids, the outward act of killing and the inward act of killing. So what does this requirement require? What is there any requirements? Well, yes, there is. I could mention several things here, but I just want to mention two. When you break one of God's laws, when you break one of God's commandment, what's the next step as a result of that? Judgment. Judgment. I don't like judgment. But can I be honest with you? I really don't either. Because I've been guilty so many times. But I want to tell you something. God hates sin. And if he ceased to judge sin, he would cease to be holy and righteous. He has to judge sin. And while he hates sin, he loves sinners. Do like Billy Graham this morning. Look at your neighbor and say, God loves you. He does. God loves you. But judgment comes into play whenever we break this command. Now, Galatians 5 and verse 21. Well, let's back up. I'm going to back up here, Ellen, to verse 19. Now, the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies. Here it is, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past. Now listen to this, that those who practice, it's the pattern of their life, okay? Such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now I know what some of y'all are thinking this morning. Bless God. I haven't aborted any babies. I haven't killed anybody. I hadn't been involved in vehicular homicide. I haven't murdered anybody. I haven't even slandered anybody with my tongue. We are all guilty of the greatest killing in all of human history. There's a lot of questions, you know, when Mel Gibson's movie came out, about just about who killed Jesus. You know, the Pharisees, the religious leaders, they killed Jesus. Pontius Pilate, King Herod, they had a role in killing Jesus. The Roman soldiers, the angry crowd. But I want to tell you, I just want to say to you, it was our sins that killed Jesus. Our sins. It was my hands that drove the nails in his body. It was my heart. It pressed those thorns into his brow. Amen. It was your soul that thrust that spear in his side. We're a part of the greatest killing in all of human history. And so everybody's guilty. Everybody. And you may be here this morning and you are feeling some guilt. Maybe about one of these sins that we've already talked about. Judgment comes. That's the result of sin. But here's the second thing that's required, and I like it. It's repentance. Now, how many of you think highly of Moses? Great prophet, great leader. Don't forget, Moses murdered someone. And yet God used him to bring the Israelites out of slavery. And he wrote the first five books of the Bible. How many of you have ever heard somebody say, maybe you've read, David was Israel's greatest king. Well, he had Bathsheba's husband murdered. What about Paul, the greatest New Testament example of a Christian? I mean, he was having Christians jailed, imprisoned, and sentenced to death. And the Apostle Paul wrote half the New Testament. So here's the deal, folks. You can be forgiven of this commandment if you've broken it. Look what Acts chapter 3 and verse 19 tells us. We're right here at the close now. Don't check out on me. Acts chapter 3 and verse 19 says, repent. You know what the word repent means? I got some kind of crazy email this morning that said repentance is a heretical teaching of the church. Yeah. Well, where do people get this stuff? Repentance is all through the scriptures. You can't be saved. Jesus said, unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Look what verse 19 of Acts 3 says. Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. That's what repentance brings. Forgiveness of sin. A cleansing. And a season of refreshing. I can just tell by looking, some of us need to be refreshed this morning. Hallelujah. There's forgiveness in the name of Jesus. There's cleansing in the blood of Jesus. You can be forgiven of any and all sin this morning. I'm so thankful for the Lord Jesus. I am so grateful for who He is and what He came to do for us. So if you'd be willing to make a spiritual U-turn, all of you know what a U-turn. I've watched some of you make one. If you'd be willing to turn away from your sin and turn to Jesus and surrender to Him as your Lord and Savior, just simply by calling on His name. Romans 10, 9. He will forgive you and cleanse you. And if you need be, save you. Aren't you thankful? He took our killing for us. How can we not surrender our all to Him today? Yes, amen. Would you bow your heads? It's time to pray and seek the Lord today. Kevin, would you just kind of dim those lights a little bit right behind your head there? Thank you. Everybody just bow your head and let's pray. Father, we know that we know that we know that we all stand guilty before You. Every one of us in here have broken Your commandments. The Scripture says if we've broken one of them, we've broken all of them. And so, God, we all stand condemned and in need of Jesus. And I believe with all my heart and all my spirit there's someone here today that needs Jesus Christ and His forgiveness. Doesn't really matter what all the story is. The bottom line is Jesus loves us and gave His life for us. And if you're here this morning and you need salvation, you need to be saved, you know it. Guess who else knows? God knows it. And right now, right there where you're sitting, if you'd be willing to say, Lord, I am a messed up sinner. I am not right with You. My sins are ever before me. But Lord, I believe that You died and rose again so that I could be forgiven. And I believe You're the Son of God. And right now, today, I turn from my sin and I receive this gift of salvation today. Come into my life and my heart. I crown You Lord of Lords. King of Kings. Thank You for Your sweet forgiveness. In just a moment, we're going to give you an opportunity to take your stand for Christ. We're just going to ask you to come. And we'll pray over you, thank God for you. We'll put some stuff in your hands that'll help you get started right in your new life with Christ. But I think there's far more of us in here this morning that have anger in our hearts, that have unforgiveness in our spirit, and we need to deal with this stuff. So we're going to open up the altar to everybody here. Everybody. This issue of murder in the heart, it affects every one of us. And so, Father, give us the strength and the courage to do what only you can do. Set us free today from all that baggage we've been carrying around. Set us free this morning from all unconfessed, unrepented sin. And Lord, help those who have prayed to receive Christ for the first and only time they need to do that. Give them the Holy Ghost boldness to come forward. There'll be people here to pray for you and pray with you. Our leadership, they'll be here to pray with you. We'd love to pray for you. But you've got to take that first step. Oh, Father God, in the quietness and stillness of this moment, would you see fit to move in our midst as people come to pray and confess Christ? And you just stay right there seated. If you need to come to the altar, just tap the knee beside you. They'll let you out. Father, give us boldness to come. Just stay seated and you come on. The altar's open. You come for prayer. Andrew's going to sing for you. And for him, you come. Just come on right now. Step out, slip out in the aisle. Come on down. We're here.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor, about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.